You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Pastor Ken Klaus on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, What Are You Worth? Now here is Pastor Klaus.
Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Those words of resurrection proclaim to all the world that those who believe in Jesus as their heaven-sent substitute have been cleansed of all their sins. As a result, we who were without value have been reevaluated and have a new worth. Today we proclaim the truth of our gracious God, who made the sinless Savior to be sin for us, so that in Him we might be made right before God. Because of the Christ sacrifice, God's children have a new worth.
What are you worth?
I mean, really? Not so long ago in New York, a homeless man, a train maintenance worker, and a dog were all killed on the subway tracks. 90 people telephoned the transit authority about the dog. 90 people. 3 called about the worker. Nobody called about the homeless man. It might seem that the men were worth less than the dog. What are you worth? In the late 1800s, a circuit rider spent the night with a Christian family composed of a father, mother, and a 12-year-old boy. In the evening, the father told of how their son had been adopted. The child was just a poor orphan when we first saw him. He was in rags and dirty, and his shoes, they were the worst of all. The uppers were ripped and the soles had holes. We gave him new clothes, but kept those shoes to remind him of how bad off he was before us. Whenever the boy complains or misbehaves, I get out those shoes and help him remember how good we've been. I don't need to tell you the boy was hurt. His father had told the minister and him what he was worth. What are you worth? Figuring out the worth of something is a difficult task. A poor Scottish widow lived in a thatched cottage. In a place of honor on the fireplace mantel was an old cracked cup protected by a glass globe. Why the extra security for something worth nearly nothing? Years before, a carriage had stopped at her door. A lady got out and asked for a drink of water, which was supplied via the cracked cup. Later that day, the widow found out that the cup had been used by Victoria, Queen of the British Empire. The cracked cup found a new value because the lips of Victoria had touched it. Figuring out the worth of something is a difficult task. A sea captain told his passengers about another Atlantic crossing he had made. On that trip, his ship had sunk. Only by acting quickly did the crew escape into the lifeboat. The sea's roughness made it seem unlikely that the small vessel could stay afloat. Then they saw another steamer. A lantern with a candle was in the emergency supplies, but there was no match. Every man rummaged in his pockets. No match. They checked again, and at last one match was found. The man who discovered it handed it with reverence to the mate. The mate, with the same respect, gave it to an officer, and finally, it was gently placed into the hands of the captain. The sailors clustered around, held up their jackets to keep out the wind. The captain commented to his listeners that he had handled precious cargo before, but none with greater gentleness than that match. A worthless match had a new value because it meant hope. But we are not talking about matches or cups. When we ask, what are you worth? We're talking about people and souls and eternity. Some years ago, Harold J. Morowitz, a leading chemist, received a birthday card from his daughter. That card read, according to biochemists, the materials of your body are worth only 98 cents. I remember my high school teacher saying something like that. The card got Morowitz to thinking. 98 cents, is that what he and everybody else is really worth? He got out his chemical catalog and began looking up the prices of all the chemicals which make up a body. What he found was surprising. At that time, hemoglobin was selling for $285 a gram. Insulin was marketed for $47.50 a gram. The price went climbing with less common items like alkaline phosphatase at $225 a gram. But the real shocker came when he got to a follicle-stimulating hormone, which was a steal at $8 million a gram, and prolactin, the hormone that stimulates milk production for mothers, that could be had for $17.5 million a gram. Taking all these costs and calculating the percentages of each of them in the human body, subtracting a 68% water factor, Morowitz concluded that a 168-pound man would be worth $6,015.44. Silly? Well, maybe not so silly. What are we worth? Well, American courts gave $1,700 to a boy who lost his hand. When an 18-month-old child toddled into an alley and injured three toes in some burning rubbish, the value of those toes was set at $750. A Kansas City lad was so injured by a live wire that he lost the ability to smile. The courts figured $20,000 was the value of a smile. Maybe we are worth something. Insurance companies calculate what we're worth. A young woman who made a living judging perfumes was allowed to insure her nose for $50,000. Jan Kubelik, the great violinist, had the fingers of his left hand insured for $250,000. And Paderewski, the great pianist, had his fingers underwritten for $10 million. How much are you worth? I guess it depends on who gives the answer. Ask a terrorist who is filled with hatred. He will gleefully and gladly tell you, you are worth more to me dead than alive. He reasons, if you die, all your friends and fellow citizens will quiver and quake with fear. If you die, the media will focus on his cause and give it free publicity. If you die, money from hidden sources will become available for his organization. If you die, firebrands and ne'er-do-wells will flock to his gang in search for glory. To the terrorist, you are worth less than nothing. How much are you worth? To the government, your value is a series of formulas on a spreadsheet. To the politician, your value is a vote to be tabulated. To your employer, your value is weighed by what you give him versus what you cost him. To the advertiser, your value is computed by your spending power. To the credit card company, your value is how much debt you can incur without disaster. Your friends may say you are an invaluable, indispensable individual. Of course, these same friends may someday change their minds. Your family may value you with high regard. In you, they see selfless sacrifice and a special servanthood that cannot be overvalued. But as the years pass, you may find yourself devalued. So what are you worth? Most of us end up saying not very much. That's because most of us are leading lives that have been bent, spindled, folded, and mutilated. Our self-worth is marred by the bruises, the scars, the open wounds that have come from cruel and careless comments and the intentional or inadvertent actions of others. Each of us feels neglected. Each of us feels abused. Each of us feels unrecognized, underappreciated, unapplauded because of what others, sometimes those who should be closest to us, have said and done. The comments and thoughts of others would be enough to make us feel lost and lonely. But then, we take a look inside ourselves, and we really can get depressed. Take a moment. Look deep into your heart. Tell me what you see. Take a look at those things that you have spent a great deal of time covering up from those whose opinions are important to you. Take a look at those secret sins that you have kept locked away from everybody except yourself. Take a look at that part of you that you don't want to see, but which always lurks at the edge of your thoughts. It's that part of you that says no one who really knows you could ever love you, care for you, be a friend to you, or want to spend any time with you. Can I tell you, God has seen this thing? You may have been successful in hiding things from others, even your closest friends and family members, but you haven't hidden them from God. He knows your most contemptible qualities, and God, having seen you for who you really are, still values you. Why? Scripture asks the same question. In the book of Psalms, the writer wants to know, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. That makes us sound pretty good, doesn't it? Why wouldn't God highly value someone who is just a shade beneath the angels, who is crowned with glory, who is ruler of the world and everything in it? Well, God doesn't value humanity as a whole because his children have done so well as rulers of the world. Polluted streams, extinct species, racial hatred, continuous wars, and a multitude of misguided, misdirected, and mistaken misdeeds say that sinful humankind has raped and ruined when it should have been ruling. On a personal level, God does not value us or love us because of what we've done either. Remember what you saw when you looked into your heart? You were valued and loved by God because you are and remain his handiwork. King David explained just how involved God is in your life. He wrote, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Because of the hand of the divine artist who made you, you have value, and you are loved by God. Sadly, you are also condemned by God. Remember a few moments ago when we asked you to take a real deep look within yourself? Every honest one of us saw some things that were not very valuable or very lovable. We work hard at keeping those actions, those thoughts secret, because we know that nobody, especially God, would want to be around us if that part of us became public. Well, to God, those things are public, and he doesn't like them, not one bit. When Adam and Eve committed the first sin and ate from the forbidden fruit, they were condemned. All of their children, every one of them with their own sins, were likewise condemned. No one escapes, not the best of us, certainly not the worst of us. We were destined for the eternal garbage pail of hell, except for one thing: God still loved us. It doesn't make any sense, but having seen that sinful side of our souls, God still loved us. Let me talk for a moment to you wives who are listening. You will probably understand. Well, your husbands will understand too, but they're not going to like what I'm going to say. Ladies, does your husband have a favorite article of clothing that should be put out of its misery? Maybe it's a flannel shirt or an old pair of tennis shoes. Probably this item is torn, worn, and when he wears it, he looks mighty forlorn. Have you thrown that obscenity in the rag bag only to find it resurrected? Have you tossed it into the garbage 5 minutes before the truck is supposed to come, only to find it has somehow made its way back to his closet? Why does he love that thing? I don't know. You don't know. But beyond any logic, beyond any reason, that thing is loved. On a far grander and more glorious scale, that's the way it is between God and us. Having looked into our hearts, having seen our sin, God ought to throw us into the dumpster of damnation, but in his grace, he decided to save us. He pulled us from the garbage. He rescued us from our fate, and he saved us. More than that, and unlike a husband's favorite shirt, God fixed us up, cleaned us up, and made us more valuable than we were before. How valuable are you? And listen carefully now, because it is important. You are so valuable to God that he sent his son to save you. God sent his son to take your place. That's why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's why he suffered for you. That's why he endured indignity. That's why he died all for you. That's why St. Paul could proudly proclaim, you were bought with a price. The price God paid, the value he placed on you, was nothing less than the life of his only son. God valued you so highly that in order to allow you to live, his son had to die. For 6 hours, God's son hung suspended between heaven and earth. That is your value. Now, before I lose you, look at your heart once more. Look once more at that sin you try to keep secret. I know it's uncomfortable. Well, now is the time to look at that sin for the last time. This thing that you find terrible and tragic, bring it out. And realize that Jesus, as he hung upon the cross, looked at that sin. He suffered to take away that sin. When he breathed his last and said, "It is finished," it was to destroy that sin. That sin was erased with a price. That's how valuable you are. What are you worth? Your forgiveness, your salvation are worth the price of Jesus' life. St. Paul said it better and more clearly than I can. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Paul knew. Once he had been a murderer. Now, because Jesus had been his substitute, he was forgiven. Once he had persecuted believers, but in Jesus he was forgiven. Once he had hated, but now, yes, you can say it with me, he was forgiven. Bought with a price, cleansed by the Christ. Paul and all who believe on Jesus as their Savior are forgiven, absolutely, completely forgiven. Has that special sin of yours evaporated? Has it dissolved? Don't you dare insult Jesus by thinking that sin is more powerful than the forgiveness he won for you. He paid a price so that sin would be gone. Believe it. Believe in this transforming power of God, which recycles the garbage of humanity and makes us valuable. If you want to know more about the Savior who gives you value, let my friends at the Lutheran Hour help you. Call the number they will give during this broadcast. Let them help you find out just how valuable you are. What are you worth? Figuring out the worth of a thing is a difficult task. There is a little piece of silk in a Springfield, Illinois museum. You can't buy that bit of cloth. Why? Because that little bit of silk is covered with blood. It was once part of a dress worn by the girl who sat by Abraham Lincoln on the night when he was murdered. As he was dying, she cradled his head in her lap just as a mother might hold her child. The state of Illinois bought that dress, cut out that piece of silk, and placed it in public so all could see. Because of the blood of a great man, that pitiful piece of fabric has a value beyond reckoning. Today, know your value. No matter what anyone has told you, no matter how you feel about yourself and your past, if you have been touched by the blood of the Savior, you have become priceless. My priceless friends, believe it and live it. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministry.